3. This widow woman is coming to this unjust judge, and she says, "Avenge me of thy adversary." Verse 4, "And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge saith. And shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and he is long-suffering over them? I say unto you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the fascination of the Word of God, some things that are easy and some things that are difficult. All is profitable. We're thankful that thou hast told us decidedly concerning thy Son, that he sprang from Judah, but at the same time Judah sprang from him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but also the root and the offspring of David. We thank you, Father, for the fascination of the Word of God, and we're thankful that as you tell us in the Word, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And we are glad that we have read about that in this portion tonight. Shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him? We are thankful, Father, that you know every one. So our God, from what we've read and the things that we anticipate considering, bless to our hearts, we pray. We thank for the day, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. But you have to understand, in contrasting the widow woman and the elect, the judge and God, is this. The widow woman was despised, disregarded, indifferently treated, but it says that those who cry unto God are his elect. And it tells us special things about his elect. And it tells us also that he has promised to avenge them speedily. When this widow woman was imploring this judge, "Do me vengeance of mine adversary," she did not know if she would ever have an answer. But there is not one of us who cry day and night unto our God who has any question as to the outcome of our prayers. It says, "Shall not God avenge his elect?" And it's put in such a way that absolutely he is going to avenge his elect. But all the things that we read in the parables that Christ gives tell us the strangest of the prayer life, because some things in prayer are like this. It says, "Your Heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Well, I would say this. If he already knew, why should I bother telling him again? But the Lord Jesus said, "He knows what things you have need of, therefore go tell him." That is simply a principle of prayer, that God knows, that God, without your praying, can answer these prayers. But this is what is so remarkable. It speaks about Elijah, and I told you of that, was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed that it might not rain, and it did not rain. You say, but it was God. But the scripture says that it is attributed to the prayer of Elijah. And then he prayed again. And so for this reason, you can look at the things that occur, and you can say, God answers prayer. And the Apostle Paul says this in Philippians. He said, "I expect to be delivered unto you because of your prayers." What does it mean? It means that in some way, God withholds and God bestows according to whether we pray or do not pray. Have you not read, we have not because we ask not. And then we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may spend it upon our pleasures. However, in this instance, whenever an injury, whenever an injustice is done, the one of God's elect, and they go and cry to God about it, it says that God shall eventually avenge his elect. Now, I mentioned three avengences, and one, I'll show you, it's very interesting. In chapter 17, if your Bible is open right there, in Luke 18, look at chapter 21. Look at chapter 21. You have to remember that chapter 17 is the same subject as chapter 21. It's the coming of the Lord at the last time. That's why I mentioned about the answer to the prayer in chapter 17. It's the same period, but what I wanted is not in chapter 17, it's in chapter 21. Notice, he shall avenge them speedily. So look at verse 21. Then, in chapter 21:21, then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains, and let them that are in the midst of her depart out, and let them not that are in the country enter therein. For these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And that is what they're crying for in Luke chapter 18. Avenge me. It's render vengeance to me because of my adversaries. And here is the time of the days of God's vengeance. And it says it's the very last time just before the Lord Jesus comes back again. That's the remarkable thing. So what does it mean? It means, and I have to tell you this principle, that it must be grasped. When you have, in Matthew 13, the sower went forth to sow. The Lord Jesus is the sower there. But then it speaks about the sowing of the wheat and the tares, and the Lord Jesus says, the good tares are sown by the Son of Man, so the Savior sows the tares. It says, and in time of the harvest. You say, the time of the harvest? Why, that hasn't come yet. No, but it looks as if it's all the same. We have it at the very beginning, the Lord Jesus sowing, and yet at the very end, it's the time of the harvest, and we see all these generations that have transpired in between. And so in like manner, here we have in Luke chapter 18, the elect crying unto God, and these are those, especially in Christ's time. And then it says, God shall avenge them speedily, and it transfers us to the distant future when Christ is coming again. You say, how do you know that? Because the Savior said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And so he's speaking about praying then, and then he is looking forward just as the wheat and the tares, and then way over to the harvest. He speaks about his elect at that time crying unto him, and then he transposes us to his elect that are alive at that last time, and they are crying unto God. And it says this, that period of time in the history that God has set forth in the Scriptures, the time to be fulfilled, it is the time of vengeance. And had you read on, you would discover that it is called the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember that statue with the head of gold? And then at the very end, this stone cut out without hands comes and it smashes that image upon the toes and fills the earth. You say, isn't that remarkable? Yes, you start at the beginning, but at the end, that's the times of the Gentiles when they end, and they will end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and destroys the enemies. That's when the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And that is why it says in Luke 21, it says, these are the days of vengeance. And I can tell you again that some have cried, and I think I will show you this. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Understand that we are talking about something that is spoken of at one time, and then the end of the matter is hundreds of years in the future. Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, look at verse 34. Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them shall you kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel, the righteous, unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now think, you have Abel at the very beginning, and then in the times of the kings, you have Zechariah, the son of Berechiah. And can you remember the last thing that Zechariah said before he died? He said, Lord, look upon it and require it. What did he pray for? He prayed for vengeance. And the Lord Jesus said, that prayer is going to be answered. What does it mean? It means that some things we pray for day and night will never be realized in our lifetime. But some of them are ultimately going to be realized in the last day, when the times of the Gentiles are coming to an end. And it says that all of these things may occur. Beginning with Abel, God has never forgotten one prayer. Think of that. From the time that Abel cried to him, the time of kings, and in Luke chapter 18, his elect are still crying unto him. And the Lord Jesus said, God shall avenge his elect. But he speaks about his being long-suffering over them. What is so remarkable about the way Scripture is given us, I've told you a few things. I want you to understand what the prayer is. The prayer is, avenge me of mine adversary. With the widow woman, it was simply some man or group of persons hostile to her on earth that had done her an injustice, and she wanted something done for her there. And then the Lord Jesus transports us to different circumstances, his elect, and they have been unjustly treated, and they cry out for vengeance. And you say, well, is it right? I want you to see this now. Remember, they cry for vengeance. They cry for being done justice because of the wrong they've experienced. And now we're going to see in Revelation chapter 6, turn there. Do you remember I told you that Abel and Zechariah cried, and the Lord Jesus said, their prayers are going to be answered. And so now, in chapter 6 of Revelation, we're at the last period, just before our Savior comes back to establish his earthly kingdom. And look at verse 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? The same thing that the widow is crying out for in Luke chapter 18, and the same thing that the elect are crying for. God shall avenge his elect. Now notice, it's been going on from the beginning, and at the very end, his elect are still crying out for vengeance, because it says the mystery of iniquity. And how can iniquity be suffered so long? But finally, we're getting the answer. Notice, how long dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now look at verse 11, because this will help you to understand the answer of Christ. It speaks about God will avenge his elect, but it speaks about his being long-suffering over them. Listen, they're crying to him. He's not doing anything for them immediately, but look at verse 11. And there was given to each one of them a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little time until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. God says, just a little longer, And he gives them consolation, that white robe, and he promises them it will not be long now. Turn to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And look at verse 1. After these things I heard, as it were, a great voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great harlot, her that corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Do you see? What has he finally done? It says, he has avenged the blood of his servants at their hand. Now, I was unable to give you an example this morning of what was meant by this widow woman and what was done to her. And I wasn't able to give you an example about his elect that cries for vengeance. But here is an example. They have become martyrs because of the word of God and the testimony which they stand. And because of that, their enemies have put them to death. And they cry out, figuratively, Revelation 6, their souls are under the altar, and they cry out, How long, O Master, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? And the Lord said, Just a little while longer, put on this robe, understand, be assured, things will be taken care of. And finally, when things are taken care of, hallelujah, true and righteous are God's judgments. Do you remember I told you this morning that when there is such a great delay, it seems to us as if God is like that judge of unrighteousness and he will never do anything for us. He doesn't care for us. But it says he's long-suffering over us. No matter how faithless we are when we pray, and no matter how many thoughts come to our minds, as when Lazarus died and Mary and Martha had sent him a letter to our Savior and said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Savior waits 4 days, and he's dead. And when he comes, these sorrowing sisters say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Do you understand? Nothing is said, but understand that had you come sooner, he had not died. And the Lord Jesus said, Said I not unto thee that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And so there are times that we want God to act quickly, but he never acts quickly. There are times in John 7 when his brothers tell to Jesus, Go up to the feast. And the Lord Jesus said, It's not my time yet. And when the promise in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, he waited thousands of years. But it says in Galatians chapter 4, In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And then the prayer, the promise, was answered. And so all of these things that the saints, the elect of God, have been crying for from the very beginning shall ultimately be fulfilled. I told you 3 ways that God avenges. I wonder if any brother can remember those 3 ways. He avenges spiritually, he avenges socially, and he avenges divinely. And spiritually, he avenges by Paul. I told you in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, Paul says, I'm going to take vengeance on these sinners that are in the church. You may put it together. And then in Romans 13, God says, Those that are of the higher powers, of the social order, they are my avengers. And so you see in time, spiritually, in the realm of moral discipline in the church, and also in the world, socially, God has his ministers, but ultimately, God himself renders vengeance. And that's what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, Christ is going to come back rendering vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say then, the ultimate vengeance that God is going to take is when Christ comes back again. Yes. And also, those that have escaped vengeance in this world, those that have been hypocrites in the church, and those that have been criminals in the world but somehow have escaped justice, you'll find that one day they will stand before the great white throne and the books are going to be opened and then his elect shall be avenged. And so what do we have to do? We have to cry to God day and night, our whole lifetime, and sometimes the lifetime of generation after generation. Think of this, that God had told Abraham that his people were going to multiply and be blessed, but he said they would be in Egypt those 400 years, and he said after they would come out. And so think of those slaves that were in Egypt that did not know the time frame, and they cried unto God for deliverance, cried unto God for deliverance, and they were not delivered. And the next generation was not delivered, and the next generation was not delivered. But finally, when God got ready to deliver them, he sent a message by Moses, and God told them, I have heard your cry. And we would say, well, it's about time. We've been down here crying all of these years. But that is not the way God works. Did God deliver them? You say, yes, when? Exactly when he wanted to. Now, two words about the long-suffering of God. God speaks about what he's going to do for Abraham in Genesis 15, but in telling him how long it's going to take, he says it has to be this way because the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Well, who cares? Go destroy them now. Free me. God says, I will destroy the wicked when the fullness of their sin takes place. The iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And God endures with much patience and long-suffering the sins of the world. Now look, it said God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Let us have God to immediately destroy and take vengeance. What if they had been praying against Saul of Tarsus when he was persecuting the church? Destroy this man now! How much of your Bible would be missing? You say, why? Romans? Galatians? Why, of course. Now, are you glad that God was long-suffering in answering their prayer? You say, yes. And at the same time, when as Job, you accuse God hastily and rashly. Now, at the end, Job saw what he'd been doing, and he was so sorrowful. And yet God endured all of the things that Job was speaking against his God. God was long-suffering over Job. And then, in the world, in Saul of Tarsus, and Saul of Tarsus thinks of his life, and he says, I'm the chief of sinners. He says, I'm not worthy to be called a saint because I persecuted the church. And all the time he was persecuting the church, I want you to understand this, and this is most significant. When Saul was persecuting the church, the Lord Jesus cried out from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Not my church. But it was felt in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ each time a saint of God was put to death, each time a servant of God was cast into prison, because it speaks of that. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and the Lord Jesus is one who enters into these things and who feels these things, just as when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, and he heard all that was going on, and it said that Jesus wept, you see? And also, when Jerusalem had to be destroyed, it said the Lord Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. He said, if you had known, even thou in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, and destruction is going to fall upon you. And so God waited and waited, and this the long suffering. Here is God himself, the Father, calling for the destruction and the judgment upon those that are disobedient on earth. In the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13, God said, look at this fig tree. He said, it's been here all these years, and it brings forth nothing. Cut it down. And the Lord Jesus intercedes, says, Lord, let me dig about it and dung it this year, and it bring forth fruit? Well, if not, I shall cut it down. You see Christ praying for long-suffering, for patience, and that is what God does. And so when we put it together, we see that God is patient with our impatience, with the things that we think about him, with the things that we say about him as Job would, but at the same time, he's long-suffering concerning the sinners in the world and the accomplishments that shall ultimately take place in our lives. Now tell me, did you do everything that God wanted you to do at the very first, or has it taken a few years for you to amount to what God wanted you to do? You say, many years. Well, aren't you glad that God was long-suffering over you? And so these are some thoughts about widows. A picture of destitution, helplessness, and yet she got what she cried for. And here we are, God's elect, those that He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. And when we approach God, it is not troubling Him in the least, but He wants to hear our cry. And in His time and in His way, He shall avenge His elect speedily. But He asks this question, when He comes again, will He find faith on the earth, in you, in me? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so glad that whereas we cannot understand delays, generations when nothing seems to be done, yet You tell us about it. You tell us that You know what's going on. You're aware of these things. You love us. You care for us. We are Your elect. And You want us to cry unto You day and night. And You want us to be praying when Your Son comes again. And so let it be true in our hearts. Let us be those that have that faith, that perseveres in prayer. We saw what that widow woman did. She persevered in importunity, going to that judge until she got what she wanted. And so let us pray, our Father, knowing that perhaps in our lifetime, perhaps not, but ultimately we shall say, Hallelujah. True and righteous are Thy judgments, because You have avenged the blood of Thy saints upon the earth. Everything that Abel cried for, and everything that Zechariah cried for, and everything that those under the altar cry for, eventually they shall be avenged. And when You do it, Father, You shall do it speedily. And so let us have patience, and let us hear the promises and the comforting words You speak to us during that interval, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.